It is absolutely amazing. The things that you can learn off the internet, it's just absolutely amazing. It's mind-boggling. It's fascinating. It's mind-expanding. How many of you remember the old television series Dragnet? Oh, come on. Da-da-dum-dum. Dum! The story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. All right. Well, it debuted in 1951. But did you know that for 6 years it ran simultaneously with the same radio program? Yeah, it was on the radio in 1947 or something like that. But anyway, it ran on both the radio and the television. And not only that, you said you remember the old television series? All right, now tell me which one you remember. Was it the one that ran from 1951 to 1959? How about the one that ran from 1967 to 1970? Okay, some of you may remember the one that ran from 1989 to 1991. Or if you are really astute, you may have caught the one that was on TV from 2000 to 2001, but that one was a total disaster because it was an hour long and the plot was really lean. Now, you see, a few moments ago, you thought I asked you a simple question, didn't you? Do you remember the old Dragnet series? But when you're confronted with, to quote Sergeant Joe Friday, the facts, madam, only the facts, it doesn't seem so simple anymore. As a consequence, the question was actually much easier to answer before you knew all the facts. This all goes to prove that sometimes ignorance really is bliss. The problem, of course, is that if we choose to remain ignorant, if we choose to ignore, much less acknowledge, the truth, we will eventually find ourselves on a road to destruction. The reason is simple. You see, we can avoid learning the facts, and we can ignore the truth. But like that crazy metal vent in our basement, it doesn't change a thing. The facts are still the facts. And the truth is still the truth. For example, in today's Old Testament reading, it's not our favorite. It's kind of hard to read and even harder to hear. But what happens is that God provides Amos with a vision. And then he says that he wants him to take this vision to Israel. And so he does. He takes it to the religious leader first. You see, it seems as though the nation is enjoying great prosperity. Not only that, it had reached the height of political and military might. And with each new success, with each new victory, those people kept stepping further and further away from God. I mean, when you're successful, who needs God there to tell you what you're doing wrong? So in the process of becoming politically and financially secure, they had become spiritually smug. And Amos decided that because they had become spiritually smug, he should start with the church. And so he went. and he found Amaziah, the high priest. And with the word of the Lord on his lips, Amaziah listened to Amos and then said, "You, sir, are a liar. You are not only a liar, you are a troublemaker." And so Amaziah went to King Jeroboam and suggested that perhaps the best thing for the nation was to get rid of this troublemaker. Go back to where you came from, Amos. We hear that a lot with the prophets, don't we? In other words, neither the religious or the political world wanted to examine the facts, just the facts. They didn't want to hear that God was finished being patient with them and they would have to suffer the consequences of their behavior. But their denial couldn't alter the truth. So Amos left. And Israel fell. Now, sadly enough, we see the same attitude, the same behavior being played out in the gospel reading. You know, we know the story. A lawyer comes to Jesus. And wanting to test him, he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looks at him and says, So tell me what's written in the law." Now, the lawyer was obviously a very religious person because he immediately quotes both from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, the moment Jesus tells him that he is correct, now all he has to do is go out and do it, the lawyer replies, No. "You're not getting off that easy. You tell me who my neighbor is." So Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. The problem, of course, is that the lawyer doesn't want to be confused with the facts. He already has his mind made up. Regardless of what Jesus says, regardless of the fact that he was even willing to admit to the truth, there was no way that he was going to love anybody that he didn't like. Even if it meant sacrificing eternal life. Now, Christians, here's the challenge. When we place these two stories side by side, we discover something that we already know. Ignoring the facts and denying the truth doesn't solve anything. As painful as it can be, what we need to do is simply admit the truth. Like the ancient nation of Israel, it may look like we have the world by the tail and God in our hip pocket, but if we have stepped onto the path of destruction, that's exactly where it's going to lead us, to destruction. But if we listen to God, if we examine the facts and admit the truth, there is always the promise of forgiveness and new life. And as Christians, that promise is ours. When we confess Jesus Christ and desire to follow his ways. But like the lawyer, most of us already know that. As a matter of fact, we are painfully aware of the life Christ is calling us to live. And we are also equally aware of how miserable we have failed. And that's why we spend so much time focused on semantics. Who do I love? Who is my neighbor? What do you mean by grace? Unconditional love? Oh, we love to argue, don't we? And when we get finished arguing about semantics, we go right into minute points of doctrine. So why do we do it? If what Jesus is asking us to do is so simple, why do we make it so hard? Why do we throw up barriers? Well, it's called avoidance. And while it may keep us safe and secure in our own little worlds for at least a little while, in the long run, it gets us nowhere. In other words, just knowing the truth is not enough. We have to be willing to act upon it. We have to be willing to take Christ's hand and to follow him wherever he leads us. And yes, we know all of this. I haven't told you one thing yet that you don't already know if you've been in church more than two or three times. But it's so hard to accept the truth. And it's even harder to step out on faith. But if we want to become the people, the church, and the Christians that God is calling us to be, then that's exactly what we must do. So here are the facts, madam. Just the facts. We have been called by an awesome God to live a spectacular life, something even greater than we can even imagine. We have been called to live lives filled not with things, but with love. Lives not marked by prestige or power, but with compassion and concern. Lives based not on what we can get, but what we can give. And yes, we failed. We have stood between God's world and our world, and we failed to make the right choice. For far too often, we fall for the glitz and the glamour of everything that's being offered to us through advertisements and TV. So I'll tell you what. Beat yourself up. Go ahead. Throw yourself a pity party. Make your excuses. Go ahead. It's okay. Yeah, justify everything you've done. Then be quiet and listen. Today is a new day. With Christ's help and the support of this community, we can become the people God created us to be. And that, my friends, is the truth. So live with it. Okay? To God be the glory.